Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 46, Pride. Today is Friday, May 9th, 2008. No music today, just the message. It's lengthy and I want you to be able to listen to it in its entirety. It's an excellent message. I chose the message like we prayed about it and chose this message. And next to this message is Pride Part 2. So we are going to have two messages, Pride Part 1 today, Pride Part 2 next Friday. So be sure to come back, or better yet, go to the blog and subscribe to the podcast. And that is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And there at the blog, you'll also see the show notes. There are quite a few scriptures in this message, so you'll be able to go and see those scriptures. The links are at the show notes. You'll be able to see them. And be sure to listen or read the scriptures. They're really good as well. A lot of scriptures about pride. The message is really good. It talks a lot about different types of pride, so you will be able to relate to that. I guess all of us always can relate to the issues of pride. So it is an excellent message, and the message is definitely for us. So I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you have a fantastic Mother's Day. If you're a mother, enjoy the day. If you are celebrating with your mother, be sure to give her a big hug. And without further ado, here is Pastor Paul's message, Pride. Until next Friday, have a great week.
Tonight's message is entitled Pride. Of all the seven sins, pride, anger, envy, impurity, gluttony, slothfulness, avarice, notice pride comes first. Proverbs 16 and 18, pride goeth before a fall. Notice it doesn't say cometh. It said goeth. It's, pride has to go before everything. Has to go before the fall. Has to go before everything else. Because all the sins are roots. Their roots are in selfishness. It goes ahead. No direction. No direction from above, no wanting any kind of direction. Always arguing the fact, never giving in, never listening to the Lord. Because pride is real self-esteem, delighting in one's own superiority over other fellows. Proverbs 16 and 5 says, everyone that is proud in the heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Proverbs 29 and 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble spirit. I, in my own walk, have tried to act out those little parts. Did you ever try to act like you had a humble spirit? I think everybody's guilty of that one. Now, I'm not talking about self-respect or a legitimate sense of personal dignity, but an undue self-esteem out of all proportion to one's actual growth and their actual worth. I think this type of egotism is repulsive to God and to man. Pride. Well, you say, I haven't got anything to be proud about. You can be proud and have a quarter in your jeans. Has nothing to do with it. It's strutting oneself in front of God, and it's strutting oneself in front of men. It's called pride. And God, it says, hates it. It is an abomination to him, which means it makes him, in the original Greek, shudder. Can you imagine your heavenly Father shuddering? Huh? When we brag and tell stories that glorify self, we can't walk by a mirror without smiling at ourselves or striking a pose or putting on a movie star face for others. Come on now, who do I look like? I had a friend like that. He was always asking me, now admit it, who do I look like? I look just like Kirk Douglas, don't I? Come on, admit it. Say, okay, you look like Kirk Douglas. You got a head and two arms and two legs, you know. Who's the best looking of us all? You stop in front of all the store windows. Why, you are, of course, and you're only about 13 or 14. I didn't know it at that time. God was preparing me for ministry. But Psalm 101:5 said, him that hath a high look and a proud heart, I will not suffer. It's talking about proud, domineering people who look down on the poor as if they were some kind of a worm or something. And I thought to myself, if all the proud people were cut off, those who provoke strife and enmity and discontent, I thought to myself, you know, the world census report would be a whole lot different. There'd be hardly anybody left. But see, you have to recognize those things. And I think that pride can take many forms. But it all comes, the Bible says, from a haughty heart. Some take pride in their looks. They spend all of their time. I think that's why God had me to lose all my hair. Not that I was much to look at, but, you know, I had that hair, and I was always just keeping it just so. Well, that took a lot of my time, I'll tell you. But some take pride in their race, and you hear a lot of this now. You know, what are you? Who are you? Where'd you come from? That's like I'm a Greek, and I could say we started mathematics and gave you the alphabet and astrology and science and art and acting and sculpture and boxing and wrestling and architecture and Bible and the original Greek. We gave you democracy. We gave you bullfighting and navigation. Come to think of it, what would you dummies done without us? Now, I'm just saying that. I'm not saying that for any purpose. And you have to explain yourself. Otherwise, it goes off wrong. Or we're German. We're the greatest machinists or the rocket people or whatever. But we take pride in this type of thing. In an over-excess of it. Then we have those that have a pride in their businesses. Oh yes, we've been operating for 57 years. Never had a complaint. Top dog, number one, none better. 7 awards, you know. Did you ever find yourself talking like that? Oh no. Well, pride in social life. Oh yes, I belong to the VFW. YMCA, the Alpha, Beta, Cum Laude, the VIP Club. I'm the president of the PTA, and I'm an usher at church, you know. Teach Sunday school, pillar of the community. But of all these prides, I see the most sickening is spiritual pride. Did you ever try to talk to someone who has spiritual pride? I said, bless you, to a person, and they said, oh, he does plenty. Okay. All right. I mean, that's the end of the conversation, too, wasn't it? Well, I had coffee with the Lord this morning, and he let me in on a few tips. Give me the lowdown, what's going on. Did you ever have someone pray for you, and they prayed like this? Lord, give this brother faith. Give this brother a message for the age. Give this brother joy. Give this brother meaning. Give this brother purpose. Give this brother a plan. And I, in the middle of one of those prayers, I said, he just did. He said, run. Here's a nursery, honey, if you're having problems there. And whoa, this guy said after he got all done, did you feel a spirit on that? And I says, yes, but I'm not quite sure what spirit it came from. Or someone who prophesies over the telephone to you? Because I find with spiritual giants, it's so hard to say good morning. They answer back with a question, good morning. Or you say, how's it going? And you get ready for a Bible study. They'll keep you on the phone for a whole hour. Or you say, I praise God for you. You say, do you really mean that? Now you think about just what you said there, brother. Or bless you. No, bless you. Or I love you. Do you realize what you just said? Would you die for me? Of course not. I may have a hard time even living around you. Well, that's the way God looks at things, I know. Pride of the Spirit is what's caused Lucifer, the devil, to fall. Isaiah 14 and 12 through 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, see the thought drop from his mind down into his heart. And you know what? It showed up in his face. When someone has got something down in their heart that's fallen out of their head, it shows up on their face. Always. Greed shows on the face. Anxiety shows on the face. Fear shows on the face. Joy falls upon the face. Greed. Discontentment. All those things. Gossip. Have you ever seen somebody with the gossip jaws? They got jaws from gossiping. They get old before their time. And he said like this, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Wow. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. But notice here, Lucifer says five times, I will. I will exalt above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of God. I will be like the Most High God. I will be above God. There's the pride of the heart. Number one sin in all of the universe. Pride in the heart. Whew. Do you ever feel that pride in your own heart? You know what it happens? When we begin to feel self-contained. When we feel self-sufficient. We are on very dangerous ground. Spiritual pride. Because you know why? It trusts in one's own virtue rather than the grace of God, and it is earmarked, by the way, for God's judgment. Spiritual pride. It'll make you have contempt for other people. Be haughty and above people. It will make you seek a special company. Well, you would never come down to the north side. You would never lower yourself into the congregation of the poor and the needy. Because you have to be in a special company, Company A, a special group. After all, you know, we're way above that. We've grown. We've all grown that. There's no need for it. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves telling God what we need and what we don't need. It will make you lofty. It will make you feel above others. Oh, that's a hellish thing, isn't it, that pride? Doesn't it say in the Bible that before that we're saved, we are the sons of the devil? Then you have this inborn thing. Someday I'm going to minister on that adoption. What the Lord has shown me about it. Say amen. We come out of this hellish affair with the world and being born into the world. And then our Heavenly Father adopts us. And we're all hung up with all these different diseases of the mind and diseases of the heart and self. But spiritual pride! No, I had to leave so-and-so body because I just outgrew them. Oh, God. Say amen, somebody. Seems to me a lot of people have outgrown helping people in other countries and starving nations and so on like that, and we've become dead to the cries of the hungry. Well, we're above that now. We must get more teaching, and thousands are starving to death, and my God, Christians are just sitting down on their frumpy rumps talking about what they can learn and why they have this kind of thing and why they have that kind of thing and why they're so unhappy and everything and such on and on and on and on and oh, skink. How many heard what I just said there? Now, I'm not saying that you don't have to have some kind of teaching, but you always have to learn about yourself. You're nasty and perverted outside of God. That's the truth. We all are. We are repulsive to God. That's like the Pharisee of old. I thank God that I'm not like other men. Smug, conceited, arrogant. I know the Bible says that God loathes this spiritual pride because it presumes to be good in its own right. Well, I've always been a good person. I've always tried to excel in business and be a good mom and a good... But for why? Because of pride. You've embarrassed your mother and father. Look what you've done. You've gone to school looking like that. Look what you've done to our pride. Everything is built around mom or dad or built around the selfish kid. Or they're taught to excel in some sport for the wrong reason. Because it will make dad look good or mom look good or whatever. So sometimes we can't get things done. We shoot it off on our kids and say, come on, do it for mom, will you? Do it for dad. I think spiritual pride is like the tramp strutting around in rags and imagining that he is the best dressed of all men. You imagine that now? A little old hat all bent up and rag, a raggedy old scarf around here, an old tie, and the shirt collar turned up and all greasy around the neck and everything, and little whisks of hair hanging all over the place, and old shoes with holes and the toes sticking out of the sides, and a ragged old suit strutting around like he's the best dressed man in the world. But I thought to myself, spiritual pride would be humorous if it weren't so tragic. It is a tragedy. And God has, he stated and he's given and sounded a stern warning for the descendants of the Pharisees in James 4 and 6. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Whew. How do you get humble? Through a test and a trial and a tribulation sent by God. God is the only one that can humble you. You know, you can be on welfare and need humbling. Say amen, somebody.
oh, isn't it humbling enough? I have to go for this and that and so on and so on. Well, you can be proud on the way that you've, learned the system. Say amen. That's got a thing to do with that. There's pride there. The intellectual pride it talks about in 1 Corinthians 8 and 12. Knowledge puffeth up, but love edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. In other words, you can think you know a lot, but it's not according to what God thinks is knowledge, and it's junk. And Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean ye not upon your own understanding. Then we have the material pride. Deuteronomy 8 and 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. And all over now, we're praying to be blessed with money. And we think that that shows how much faith we have. And then we get proud about it. We get up, I prayed for this, and it's spiritual pride. So much of it going on right now. Spiritual pride. How much you know. How spiritual. How you prayed and got all these riches. I'm believing God for a new... I walked around that building and claimed it. And you just claim the other people out of the building so you can go in? The Lord showed me that building is mine. Did he show you your heart at the same time? I doubt it. But all kinds of things like that show how much spiritual pride there is. Kind of mean when you get a look at ourselves once in a while. We need to confess our pride and get rid of it. And it creeps up all the time. Believe me. I know this itself is the reason why people don't have adequate faith. Self has not been surrendered to God yet. And so we have to dictate to God how he should answer our prayers and when. My faith says that 3:15 you're going to answer this prayer. We're on a time schedule here, you know. Some of the prophecies in the Bible are still being fulfilled from, a few thousand years back. But in the new age, we claim it by faith, and it will happen at 3:15 according to your faith. And we take a little bit of scripture and we turn it around to our own liking and wrestle the scriptures to our own destruction. That's what's happened right now. We have not surrendered ourselves to God when we're in that kind of action. We give up everything except that last thing. The last thing anyone ever wants to give up is their self. In the world, they call it survival, self-survival, survival for the fittest. And they'll do anything to stay alive in self. Isn't that right? Anything and everything to stay alive in self, no matter how miserable everybody is around them. They must live on, they must be exalted. I was sitting and I seen one of these machines that went off and a red light went blip, 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 blip. Something was going wrong in this cleaning machine. This red light was going blip, 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 going on and off. And I thought, oh, if the human interior worked this way, when the internal workings were upset, would the light go off? Would be great. Unsurrendered self, unsurrendered self. Woo, 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 huh? But really, listen, don't kid yourself. Signs are put out. You can see it in the face. Jealousy? Isn't she just a doll? And you just look, you can feel a spirit of jealousy come around the other women that are there. Isn't she petite, and isn't she lovely, and isn't she altogether precious? Oh, yes. Huh? You mean that actually happens in prayer groups and churches and things like that? Oh, yes. I really do mean it. Said it, and I'm glad. But you can see it on the face, the hatred. That's a red light that's going on and off. The greed and the lust and the gluttony and the envy and the slothfulness. Could you help me with this or that? Brother, I don't mean for you to have a heart attack or anything. Goodness, go sit down. I think I've weakened your constitution to the near point of dying. Sit over there and recoup. But you can tell it, and the pride that comes out, the haughty look, the wingtip crowd, you know what I mean, with the shiny suit on and the hair combed back just so, you know, and all the nose hairs picked just right, no ear hair in there, and just powdered up and just looking like a statue. Okay? That sort of pride shows up. We are proud of our company. Huh? See, only when you get self off of your hands totally and get into God's hands does a face light up with freedom. When you're not free, you're tied up in yourself. And you'll make everybody around you just miserable. It ends up in a sort of a pride thing is what it is. Isn't that right? Hey, look at me. Hey, look me over. Do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Now, if a person's doing a whole lot of work and they complain about it all the time and they get in sort of a prideful thing on how much they're doing, what good are they? Better off if they just went home. My God, they're a bore. But anyway, with all the resentments there are and annoyances in our lives, it's a blessing to give yourself to God. Isn't it? Isn't it a blessing? Here, Lord, I got all these problems and all these frustrations and all these jealousies and all these hatreds and all these bitternesses and all this pride. And my red light is flashing, Lord. God will take you on. See? And a lot of times we get very good at covering up our pride. That is the most humble person I have ever seen in my life. And while they're saying that, the person almost has to turn around and snicker himself. God. Ooh. But wouldn't it be a blessing to give this great big package of misery to God? If this pride that keeps you in yourself. Because if you keep yourself, you're going to have a lot of conflicts. Self turned over to God is a contribution, but self-centered on self is off-center, and it's got to be because God has got to be your center. And as long as people are patting us on the back, we're on top of the world. But when we're not getting the, you're great, you're wonderful, well done, boy, I don't know how you do it. What a man. You are something else. And we try to act humble, you know. Oh. But it shows up on our face. You cannot stop from strutting. Hey. Huh? How many are hearing this? Well, maybe you don't want to hear it. You're going to hear it anyway. Lock all the doors and windows. You're going to hear this message before they leave here. And you on the radio, don't turn it off or suck on a Pepsi unnecessarily. Hear it. Oh, how do you do it, guy? What's the secret?
Well, it's really no secret. It's God's grace. Huh?
But if we're not hearing things like this, a lot of times people are in the dumps. Doesn't anybody notice what I've been doing around here? Huh? Because, see, it's always the self that's demanding, you know, demanding, always, always, always. It's not a dedicated self. No, it isn't. And a demanding self is always a very unhealthy and very unhappy, unadjusted self. Always. Well, a person told me, I haven't really gotten to know myself yet. Don't search too deeply. They have these little groups now, get to know yourself. What makes you tick clubs? And they sit around and they delve into what, now the reason you're this way or that way or so on like this and that is because of this or that. Why not give it over? Why not just give all that misery to God and why counsel on it continually and constantly and always and just say I'm miserable and so on, and it all stems back to pride. Always. It's self again. And I don't care if you're in rags or you're in furs. But I haven't really gotten to know myself yet. I'm going to a self-awareness class. Really? I told one person that was going to go to them self-awareness classes, I said, don't do it. I said, good, give up before it becomes a habit with you. Don't do it. You'll just sit around talking about yourself. All these meetings, they mean nothing. The Bible says, forgetting those things that are past and pressing forward towards a high mark, the calling in Christ. And I said, all you need to know is that you need change daily. The Bible says, die daily. You get up in the morning and just look in the mirror and say, die. Isn't that a hard thing to do? Huh? To wake up in the morning. Oh, maybe that the kids are getting on your nerves, or maybe the job is getting on your nerves. Maybe this is it. You always use your nerves for an excuse. Your nerves are just tell you, you know, they project things. But there's nothing wrong. Your nerves are working real good. That's the problem. Oh, I'm just nervous, you know what I mean? And they always blame it on that, see? What it is pride, and it's an unsurrendered self. So we get up, we're discontented with kids, we're discontented with job, we're discontented with church, we're discontented with the preacher, we're discontented with parents and grandparents, and we're just, in general, discontented all of the time. Now, how many are hearing this? Discontentment. Need to get up in the morning, look into the mirror, and say, die. Now, I know a lot of people don't like this kind of preaching. You know why? They do not want to die. I got a right to sing the blues. Ooh, I got a right to sing the blues. Down along the river. Fall in. Die. Hey, you on the radio, that's better than going to a self-awareness class. They're not going to tell you anything you don't already know. It's just that you're covering it up. You're glossing it over. Well, how do you know all these things, Pastor Paul? I'm talking about myself. I thought so. Well, Hey. I'm saying that these things are inherent in everybody. And until what we let the Lord show us these things, we never want to do anything for anyone. We're too bound up with ourselves. Isn't there a song like that? I'm beginning to get to be a habit with me. Huh? All you need to know, brother, is that you need to change masters. You cannot serve two masters. How many know that? How many know you cannot serve? You cannot serve yourself and God at the same time. You can't do it. Okay, you all raised your hands, then go ahead and do it. You on the radio, you put your hands up, go ahead and do it. Now the world's pretty smart. They say easier said than done. It's the truth, isn't it? Isn't it easier said than done? Because you get up in the morning and you don't want to die. You want everybody else to die. So you can live more comfortably. Isn't that self-preservation? Why do you have to be screaming and yelling? Don't you know your mom's sleeping, trying to get a little rest and peace and quiet? Huh? Be glad when you're all gone! You're not with them now. They're not with you now. They forgot you were even in bed. That's why they're screaming so loud. There's no love there. There's no dedication to family. There's nothing. It's all a self-lifting up. So many people surrender their problem and not themselves. They'll tell you and they'll say, I surrender this problem to you, God. No, surrender the problem. You see, if you surrender yourself, the problem is taken care of. The problem is you. It's like blaming it on your nerves again. Or your what you've inherited. How many are hearing this? See, you surrender yourself and the problem is all gone. Oh, that's too easy, isn't it? You'd rather suffer for a few dozen years and go to endless classes on how to be delivered. Now, when you buy groceries and it says home delivery, what does that mean? They bring you just a cabbage or a head of lettuce or something at a time? No, they deliver you the whole bag. Why don't you give your whole bag to God? The whole kit and caboodle. And you know how you do that? You die daily. You take orders from the Lord and you are delivered daily. And you don't say, why can't people be like me? Praise God that they are not like you. Why can't they learn and be like me? Praise God that they don't learn and are like you. Because there again is a spiritual pride. Granted, there are a few nincompoops. But when that sort of attitude comes forth, it shows spiritual pride again, doesn't it? Why can't they be like me? Why do they have such a stunted growth? You know what? God can make possibilities out of problems. And all guy says, now this kid, I'll tell you, now they send me people from the system. And they say, well, now here's one from this, drunken driving and so on like this. And the guy says, we're going to send him down to Disciples Ministry. He said, you know why? He says, if anybody can handle him, you can handle him down there. And right away, I was sitting on the phone and I started to get that old pride smirk.
Well, it's really the Lord, you know. See, if I don't minister about myself, I cannot minister to you because you cannot take the kind of preaching I got. You don't want to hear it, people, and I'm talking to radio. And some of you, talking to all of us. Because people don't want to hear about it. Isn't that right? If I don't put myself into the meeting, nobody's going to listen at all. My God, you won't. But God says there's possibilities here in this person. Don't call them a problem. Give the problem to me, and I'll show you all the possibilities that they have. Did you turn me off and you turn me back on again? Now you just have to send for the tape. But don't use people for your own selfish purposes. Because when they don't meet your need, it will make you ill. You let me down. My husband let me down. My God, he let me down. Huh? My wife let me down. My kids let me down. My in-laws let me down. My daughter-in-law, my son-in-law, they let me down. And you depend on them to do something. You end up making yourself sick. When they don't meet your particular need. Some, even to get attention, retreat into illness. They're all over in the hospitals. I talked to two gals one time that had this, what do they call it? They starved themselves. Anorexia. And I went in the room and I told these two girls, they're laying there, look like skeletons. And I said, you know what? You're the most unattractive people I've ever seen in my life. I says, you have no form, no shape, no nothing. Whoever's going to look at you, now get two malted milks and let's get with it. And she, I was a little bolder in my ministry in those days. And so that night they had two malts and I left. I never seen them again. And I seen the one girl down somewhere, downtown someplace, or Target. And there she was. She was pleasingly plump, but she was happy. She was all caught up in being slender. She was starving herself to death. But some, in order to get attention, don't you see, they retreat into an illness. And they become permanently ill. There are cripples in this country. When they're alone, they get up and jitterbug. Did you know that? They get up out of their wheelchairs. Maybe you're listening to me today. I don't know. And you get up out of the wheelchair and you jitterbug and you go through the ice box like a scavenger when everybody's gone to work. Caught a few hundred people right there. Or you roll out of your sick bed. Of course, there are some that actually can't move. Some, when the attention is off of them, they suddenly are delivered. When they can get their attention off themselves. In the service during the Korean War, if they wanted to get somebody out of the bed that they felt was goal-breaking, or they even had a leg cut off, or an arm cut off, or something, and just laying there in tears and just a miserable lump, they would make them mad. They got the attention off of themselves onto that doctor, and their main objective was they even forgot they didn't have that leg. But that's how they got them out of bed. Maybe you got to make each other mad to get some kind of... My mother used to say that all the time, make them mad or glad, one way or another, they get up off it. How many are hearing this? Or they become frightened. Someone yells, fire! And up they come. Because a self-centered person is very sick. It is a sickness. They're self-centered. And they are sick.
You can tell when that spirit comes on them. And actually is disguised. It actually is pride. The lips hang out. The face hangs out. The whole personality changes. Either they go into a slump or they get very, very angry. And it's all pride. They're not getting their own way. And they want to get their way by being sick or tired or sick and tired or mad. It's all pride. Bible says that God hates it. So does everybody else, really. I think I need to tell the folks listening, don't do this. Don't look at your sickness and surrender to your sickness for, let's say, attention. But look to Jesus, the Savior. A lot of wives use that. And the husband babies them through their whole life. They're sick, you know, and they got this medicine cabinet sitting out beside the table, and these husbands live with that. But the husband has a pride in being able to accomplish buying all these medicines. Well, my wife is sick, you know. She isn't feeling too. Oh, you're such a wonderful man taking care of that invalid wife of yours. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful man you are. Oh, you're such a beautiful person. Isn't that sick? You got to shock them back into life sometimes. I told some people in here, I said, well, now you go someplace else, you'll get Shakespeare. Come in here, you'll get Shakespeare. This doctor, he told his husband, he says, now your wife is confessing death all the time. Yeah, we need to make her good and angry. And so the husband and the doctor agreed. They said, well, let's go ahead with this plan that we have. He said, okay, the doctor says you're going to die, and I say that you're going to die, and you say that you're going to die. I guess we all agree with you now. But I just thought I'd tell you something before you go and get your blessings on. I'm going to marry the woman next door, the widow next door. Oh, no, you don't. She got up out of that rack in a hurry. She received something new, a new center and a new purpose. Whew. See, we have to be free from the symptoms, and there's a lot of symptoms preaching, too. I don't think you should even have them, do you? Huh? Should you have that? Well, that's just symptoms. I thought that was, when I first heard it, I didn't know too much about anything about the Bible. And I thought, well, how stupid that is. Here's a person that's suffering from something, they just call it a symptom. It's just a symptom. I think we should be free from the symptoms and unhampered by mental conflict. Have a work and be able to love someone outside of ourselves. Some people, they can't love other people, so they love Poopsie, little dog, about this big. Wherever they go, they got these little ribbons tied on their little ears and they're kissing this dog. Because they can't give themselves over to another person. They'll give a little part of their self to a dog. I'm not saying someone outside of self, you know, isn't good, but that isn't the whole thing. That's only half a deliverance. You got to give yourself to God. To love someone and give yourself totally. I give my heart and soul to you. You got all these songs they sing all the time. And I give my whole heart and my whole soul and my whole thing, and even in marriages. And I give my all to you. Don't they have songs like that? I give my all to you. What a lie. Say amen. We are not going to give our all to anybody. And outside of giving our, the only one you can give your all to is God, because he's the only one that'll take it. He's the only one that can take it. Isn't there a song like that? all of me. Oh, why not take all of me? Take my heart, because I want to lose it, and for good reason. Oh, you got to turn yourself over to the Lord, and you can always tell someone that has not turned themselves over to the Lord, because they're just all wrapped up in themselves. See, to really find yourself, you have to die to yourself, and you have to surrender to God.
Because remember, without a surrender, there's no love. And don't the love songs all sing that too? Surrender this, and I surrender my love to you, and I surrender this, my bank book and everything to you, and you know. See, if you give your love to God, God knows what to do, that He cultivates it. You have to love yourself in God. Say amen, somebody. You cannot love yourself outside of God. How many have tried it? I have. Have you tried to love yourself outside of God? It doesn't work. It does not work. You're continually wondering why people don't love me. Why do they treat me this way? Why this and why that? And so on and so on and so on and so on. And you end up being miserable. It all ends up, and it comes right back to what I'm talking about here tonight, a pride. Because you see, if you love yourself outside of God, you poison yourself. You ever see somebody that's getting self-poisoned? Huh? Too much of a good thing? Do you ever see someone that self-poisons himself? Self-indulgences? How many hearing this? They indulge themselves. Number uno, they take care of self. You ever see somebody is saving for this or that, and they just, I mean, they'll do anything. We weren't born again, and I thought, oh, I've got to save money, and I come to everything I could save money. I even cut cigarettes in half. This is way before I knew the Lord. How many are hearing this? And I did everything to save that almighty nickel. Self-indulgences. It's not giving yourself, it's saving for self. I've talked to people through my ministry that have these dreams all the time. And a lot of them come up with the same thing. It's always in the dream, it says, I'm number one. I'm the president, or I'm a race driver, or I'm a boxing champ, or I'm a rich dude. And I said, no, I don't believe a lot of times those are your dreams. They're probably your daydreams is what you mean. Or I'm a great lover, they go on and on. I say, no, those are your daydreams. You're most awake when you're dreaming those dreams. Because their self is revealed a lot of times. Now people have these hellish nightmares. It's just the getting out of their subconscious at night. It's all that pride and haughtiness of spirit and arrogance and so on like that. They live in sort of a perpetual conflict. They build up tension, and then their face says, die, but their subconscious says, adore yourself. And they're caught in between two gods. And they think to themselves, how can I get others to adore me without looking self-centered? They don't know what they're missing. I must be careful. They always misunderstand, they do. But really, what they really need is me. My advice, my charm, my wit, my humor, my understanding, my experience, my polish, my good works, my good looks, my know-how. But then how do you make them realize what they're missing? And the person talks to themselves. They're so jealous. They're so competing. They're so, look at me. These are the conversations that pride has with oneself. And you usually find this person is running around in a great big circle, always finding themselves all the time and bumping into themselves. I thought today I was getting ready for this. I thought, who wins in a boxing match with himself? Or who wins in a wrestling match with himself? Nobody. Now you talk about all these things, and I must mention this because I have a lot of phone conversations with newly marrieds. There's only one thing worse than a self-lover, and that's two self-lovers living together. You won't realize how much you love you until you marries the other you, and then you have a couple of users. Boy, this girl said, when I get married, I know what I'll do for my man. Know how my mind races when people talk like that. All sort of comic situations rush through my head. And, you know, also the hard times. Oh, she went on, wives just don't know how to treat their men, she says. I know how I'll treat my man. I thought to myself, you know, everybody's an expert before they enter the ring. Before the bell sounds and the gloves fly and they have the bills and the car payments and the gas payment and the lights and the water and the phone and the rent, the repairs and the kids! And the mother-in-laws. The job pressures! And people interfering. May I suggest the way we finally did it? Well, I have a suggestion that'll work. You have to give yourself to God daily. Die daily. God doesn't receive a live, this is live, this is me, live! It's just like Saturday Night Live, it's gross. Paul, live! Spare us. But then they get married, it seems like the husband changes overnight. He's a tightwad. And they come in for the counseling later. He's a homebody, becomes a slob. He becomes a boor. He's not so full of confidence now. Sits around sucking his thumb. The wife changes too. Hey, he says, she's got black roots. They complain like this. And her toenail polish is always chipped now. No makeup, all gray. She yaps all day on the phone. And you know, Pastor Paul, the kids can swing on the drapes like monkeys and empty every drawer, and she still stays on the phone. Oh, once in a while, she'll throw a pen at the kids. What's wrong? They need to get lost in God and forget about self. There's a song like that. Forget about yourself and concentrate on Him. This little boy, he was lost in this auto repair place. And they couldn't find him all day long. They looked and looked and looked and looked. Well, finally, I guess it was about 3.5-4 hours, they found the little guy. And it was this great, big, huge shop. Oh, the parents were upset with this little guy. And the next day, he was lost again, but he was lost at home. You know where they found him? They found him in a closet.
He said, "What are you doing in the closet?" "Oh, I had so much fun being lost yesterday, I thought I'd get lost again today." And when I heard that story, I thought, praise God, why don't people do that? Just go get lost. I thought to myself, this is why people drink and they dope and commit adultery and go to movies, trying to get a vacation from themselves. It's the truth. They're so self-centered, they got to get a vacation from self. And so they got to do all these things to try to get away from self. Let's go here. Take self over here. Just try to forget about this voice inside. Ooh. Watch the movie. Let's go to the fireworks. Come on. Boom, bang, boom, boom. And they leave. All the wows are gone and everything is gone and they're still with their miserable self that they have not given to God. And they got to keep running their self from one little enjoyment to the next little enjoyment. And they're never going to enjoy themselves until they give themselves to Jesus Christ totally. Never. How many heard that? And they got to live in the fantasy of a movie or some true life magazine or true romance, whatever they call it. Or detective stories or something. Did you ever see these people that read these little paperback and they read them by stat? You can go into their attics and they got rooms. They try to lose themselves. So they give their whole self to a book. Or they give themselves to this and they give themselves that. They do everything but give themselves to God. And they are miserable, folks. And sometimes Christians that have given themselves over to the Lord leave that and they try to retrieve themselves and take themselves here and there. And there is nothing that will satisfy you like the Lord in doing the Lord's works and get lost in what God has sent you to do. And that's why we get into such a siege of backsliding. Say amen, somebody. That's why we get into these things of adultery and all these things. Because, well, self, what do you think? And we start asking advice from Adam. Adam is going to give you advice. He creaks open the coffin. "Thought you'd never ask me for my advice. I've been around a long, long time. Hey." How many are hearing this? I'm closing. A couple more points I'm going to make for a close. People right now are in a times of stress. 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 5 says like this. "There will come times of stress. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderers, profligators, fierce, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of religion," it says, "but denying the power thereof." That's where it's at. Isn't that a stink? But where did it get started from? Listen, "For men will be lovers of self." That was the beginning. "There will come times of stress, for men will be lovers of self." Isn't that a stink? That is the root of all evil, self-love. Because when you start to love yourself, you wonder how many others can join in loving you. Now, I know that maybe you didn't pick up on that. If you start to love yourself, you want other people to appreciate what you're doing. You want them to say, "Well, I love myself so much, and hey, here I am. Hey, look me over," you know. Huh? And then you end up in a sort of a self-worship.
Now, preachers, that's a danger that you face. Self-love. I don't know how many people have asked me, what makes you run? When that was asked me some 13 years ago, I would have had a different answer than I have right now. My answer is, I am moved and motivated by the grace of God when I have given myself to God. And you do that daily, by the way. Because when self reigns, it breaks the law and ruins self. Rule is self-ruin. And it says, there will be times of stress, for men will be lovers of self. Because this will cause sort of an inward turmoil. I can feel myself when I'm getting into that. An inward turmoil. How many, there's warnings. How many know there's warnings? You get into inward turmoil. Sometimes we listen to them, sometimes we don't. They're warnings. Inward turmoil, inward turmoil, inward turmoil, and that light's going on and off, on and off, on and off. Something's wrong. When we start to get nasty in our thinking, don't like this person, don't like that person, you cannot satisfy me this way, or you don't do this, or you don't do that, or so on like that. I have those feelings, and I recognize they're not from God, and I say, drop dead. No way are you going to come back on me again. And right after I say that, I have a battle. It went on and said, a holding a former religion by denying the power thereof. This is a type of religion. But if it has no power, it can't deliver you from you. I believe the church should have the power to deliver you from you. Then you can be delivered from this life of stress and strain and stretch and holler and belch and burp and self. Remember this in closing. You cannot go against the moral God or a moral universe. It will break you. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Isn't that a simple message? Right is right and wrong is wrong. That's the way the Lord says it, huh? You can argue, and you can get mad, and you can cause a fuss, and all that, but God's morality will not change. Not with all the buts and ifs and becauses that you can invent, you got to end up surrendering. And in closing, let me read Psalm 59 and 12. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them be taken in their pride. What's that say? As they hope to take their victims, so let them be taken themselves. Listen to that verse again. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them be taken in their pride. Their pride. As they hope to overcome their victims, so let them be taken themselves. Entangled, it says, and means in their own net. Arrested in the midst of their own security. See, pride is very secure. Sins of the lips. No, boy, let me tell you, those are real sins. Punishable ones. If your tongue leads someone else to hate or to mistrust, you will be punished according to your own mouth. That is to say, if you counsel someone and persuade someone to get into rebellion, and that person comes into rebellion, you are held accountable. Are you hearing this? Psalm 10 and 2, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. I think this is fitting for a close. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. God, it says in the Bible in the original Greek, will not hold back anything that you have in your imago. That what you put in your imagination and believe, so be it. Listen. Right now in our government, people that come into our state are given a one-way ticket home. Denied shelter. They will be, in the end times, chased out into the streets at 20 below. Right now we are educating people on abortion. And since I believe, since 1983, when they had this poverty awareness campaign, actually it was a political tool. Man's false love and concern have become quite evident. It's the end. The election is over, and let's just go on with business and kick all these people out of the way. And let's get, if they're going to abort all the babies, how are they going to take care of some bum on the street or somebody? Hey, there's no love outside of God. Let me tell you something. You whole lot of Christians listening to radio and tape right now, there is no concern for the poor, no concern for those that are out in the streets, and no concern for those that have no beds. No concern. You know why? There is so much self-love, I do not believe it. Self-love keeps people from doing things for others. Self-love. They love themselves. They love to sit and talk with others like themselves, and they don't want to get involved. When they do, it'll be for a period of a week or so, and then they just get all frumped out because it was just self coming down to do it, and you run out of steam. Say amen, somebody. That's the way it is. 1985. Watch this year and watch the next year and watch what's going to happen to people in these coming years now. Because self-love ran out. We're giving people that ticket, one-way ticket down the road. That's like giving a person a one-way ticket to hell and saying, get out of here, go to hell. That's what they're telling people. I just pray that God gets us into a position where we're able to meet the needs of these people. And the body of Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ, becomes so dedicated to the cause of doing Jesus Christ ministry that we will forget about ourselves and concentrate on what the Lord has sent us to do. And just get our eyes totally off of ourselves. And that's the only time you're going to have any joy, because listen, friends, you cannot satisfy yourself. You can't. How many know you cannot satisfy yourself? It cannot be done. My God, give it up. It's miserable. And how do you know all this? Because I minister what I know to be true about myself. Say amen. And I think it's time right now that we deal with this terrible, terrible thing, pride. When we give it over, and we humble ourselves, and God will exalt, and God will lift up, and God then gets all the glory for great things He hath done. Think about it. In this little mission down here on the north side, and I boast surely in the Lord, because I don't want to lose the blessings of the Lord. Outside of the Lord's blessings, there is nothing. And when we get ourselves and put ourselves behind the self-love and the pride behind, think of the things God can do and give you the real satisfaction, my God, to lose yourself and gain your life in the Lord. How many people need to learn that over and over, and we need to learn it daily. Deny yourself. Take up a cross daily and follow me. Jesus, I thank you for this message tonight.